Hello, I'm Mariette Snyman, a journalist devoted to uncovering new ways to live a happier and healthier life. Thanks for tuning into Calm, Clear and Helpful, the weekly podcast series which introduces you to wellness professionals offering their expertise and assistance. Today, I'm trying something new. This is a solo podcast, and I'm going to talk about my bumpy, exhilarating journey from magazine journalism to entrepreneurship and podcasting. If you're a fellow podcaster or journalist or entrepreneur, or if you're wondering how I rebuilt my life after being retrenched, I hope you'll find this compelling. I've decided to tell my story using the four phases of Martha Beck's change cycle. So if you've ever gone through a major life transition, or if you're navigating one now, I trust this podcast will resonate with you. The only thing I can't do today is ask myself the usual fun question. But next week, when I'm back to introducing you to another wellness expert, that will be on the menu again. Just a few days ago, on February the 1st, 2026, my podcast series, along with my website, celebrated its fifth anniversary. For me, moving from being a full-time magazine journalist to being an entrepreneur in the wellness industry has presented many firsts. Conceptualizing my first website and my first own podcast series. Stepping into the world as myself, and not as a journalist working for a well-known women's magazine, which was really scary. And also, knowing that there wouldn't be a paycheck arriving at the end of each month, a rather unpleasant first. This solo podcast is a first too. I'm used to having a guest on the other side of the microphone, but today it's just me in the studio. I hope you'll bear with me while I share moments from the journey my wellness platform has taken me on. One of the requirements has been taking several leaps of faith and trusting that I wasn't going to land face down. As I said, I'd like to tell the story of my website and podcast series against the background of Martha Beck's change cycle. Perhaps you're familiar with Martha, the world-renowned author, speaker, life coach, and sociologist. In 2000, when I had just started working as a full-time journalist at the South African women's magazine called Rooi Rose, I attended a book launch. All eyes were on Expecting Adam, which was Martha's first widely recognized book. I clearly remember listening to Martha speak and thinking to myself, this woman is speaking her truth. Whatever she says is rooted in her lived experience. So, when Martha later published her book, Finding Your Own North Star, I devoured it. I was particularly interested in what she called the change cycle. The change cycle is a psychological framework Martha developed to clarify the inner processes we experience during major life transitions. Each major transition, she wrote, goes through the same four phases in the same sequence. The change cycle provides guidance when, for whatever reason, we experience the chaotic disintegration of our lives, hopefully followed by the gradual rebuilding of who we are. Martha's change cycle has been of tremendous value to me, especially when at 40 I transitioned from being a housewife to being a journalist. And again, about 10 years later, when I got divorced. In 2020, I found myself facing another huge transition when I was retrenched. The loss of my job gave me the impetus to start my podcast series, Calm, Clear and Helpful, embedded in my platform, marietsneeman.co.za. I'm using the milestone of my platform's fifth birthday to reflect on the past 6 years and on the growth I've experienced, moving from being a rookie entrepreneur to finding my feet as a journalist and podcast producer, looking to amplify the voices of health and wellness experts. Martha's change cycle is kickstarted by what she calls a catalytic event. This is a big change that transforms your identity. As she writes in Finding Your Own North Star, if you bought a couch, you probably wouldn't think of yourself as going from a non-couch owner to a couch owner. But if you got married, your definition of yourself would change from single person to wife or husband. Martha identifies three types of catalytic events: shock, opportunity, and transition. A shock is a sudden change that comes from outside you, for instance, a physical disaster like a flood, or a breakdown between you and your beloved. Not all shocks are bad news. Winning the lottery also qualifies as a shock because you have to let go of the way things were and adjust to the way things are. An opportunity, according to Martha, always looks like a lucky break. It happens when you encounter the possibility of making a huge jump toward the life you really want. Unlike shock, an opportunity is not imposed on you, it simply offers you a chance at something alluring. For instance, a corporate headhunter calls and offers you your dream job. The third catalytic event, transitions, develop much more slowly than shocks or opportunities. They come from inside you rather than from the environment. For instance, you grow increasingly unhappy and dissatisfied in your job, which eventually leads to your decision to quit. So, here we have shocks, opportunities, and transitions as catalytic events. Perhaps you'd like to take a moment to think about the major life transition you've gone through and consider whether it was caused by a shock, opportunity, or transition. The catalytic event that eventually led to the birth of my wellness platform was undoubtedly a shock. It happened in May 2020, the year many of us remember as a watershed year colored by the COVID-19 pandemic. For a while, the editorial team I was part of had been working from home, putting together what would be the last issue of our magazine in its original form. We were told to attend a Zoom call, which we innocently expected to be an editorial planning session. I remember being very nervous about figuring out the technical side of an online meeting. This was the very first Zoom call I'd ever attended. Within the first 5 minutes, we got the news. Our magazine was closing down. This launched me into square one of the change cycle called death and rebirth. Before I look back at my experience of the first square of the change cycle, let's look at these four squares. If you're visually inclined, you can look at the visual depiction of the change cycle in the podcast notes. It's a picture I found on Martha Bex's website, consisting of four quadrants depicting the transformation of a caterpillar into a butterfly. When I look at it, I can't help remembering Martha talking about bug soup, referring to the disintegration of the caterpillar's body into a gooey soup before reorganizing into a butterfly. On that icky note, let's look at the first phase of the change cycle. Square one is called death and rebirth. This is the time, Martha writes, when it feels as if everything you've ever learned or experienced has suddenly evaporated. Your life has gone haywire and you've lost your footing. It's called death and rebirth. Death because you mourn your old life. You grieve the loss of familiar situations and roles. Rebirth, because you begin to explore your new life. The big advantage, Martha writes, is that you are free to plot a new life course, more in line with your internal compass, in line with what you really want. Square two is called dreaming and scheming. Once you've lived through the roller coaster of square one, you start getting an idea of where you want to go now. For instance, you think, wouldn't it be nice to have my own house? If this idea takes root in your mind, you'll find yourself visualizing what your house might look like. And as you progress through square two, your dream gradually becomes more solid. This process applies to any kind of blueprint you are creating for something new in your life, whether it's the kind of person you'd like to marry or the business you're going to start. It always begins with an inner vision and gradually moves into the real world. Square three is called the hero's saga. Martha says this is the nuts and bolts phase of change, the time when you put your wonderful square two plan into action and find out that it doesn't work. This phase is a long and often frustrating period of trial and error. It's called the hero saga because most of the great epics in literature are stories of heroes trying to accomplish in the real world what they have dreamed of doing. The plans you've figured out in square two now must be put into action. And as Martha writes, there are a million ways for things to go wrong. The hero's saga is all about modifying the scheme you created in square two, possibly many times. This, of course, requires heroic persistence. Square four is called the promised land, referring to the land of milk and honey, which the children of Israel reached after 40 arduous years in the wilderness. In this phase, you needn't build a new life anymore. You are simply tending it. You're just refining your ideas so that everything works more effectively. However, we never stay in the promised land too long. One day, a brand new catalytic event will come your way, and then the cycle starts all over again. As I share how I experienced square one, death and rebirth, initiated by the loss of my job, it may remind you of navigating one of your own change cycles. We all react to shock in different ways. I remember experiencing chronic digestive problems after hearing that our magazine was closing down. I clearly found the fact that I was retrenched hard to assimilate. Fortunately, there were three beacons of light illuminating the gloom of this period. Firstly, a dream, a vision that I'd previously cherished now came back to me. In 2015, 5 years before, I'd suddenly developed a burning desire to create a website with emotional health and relationship information for, at that stage, young adults worldwide. This longing had been so powerful that I'd actually dived into my savings and purchased an expensive online course on how to develop an online business. For months, I'd spent every free moment crafting my concept until I had a plan I loved, which went on to go nowhere. To put my plan into action, I needed partners and funds. I never took the necessary steps to find other parties willing to get on board. In 2020, I still had the concept I'd created, and I still had access to the online course. Since I was now unemployed, I asked myself, why not go back to the drawing board and revive that dream? Another beacon of light shining through my grief was the fact that I'd learned how to produce a podcast. The year before our magazine closed down, we started doing podcasts as part of the magazine offering. I was responsible for a weekly wellness podcast series. We were the first magazine in our stable to attempt podcasting, and it was a really steep learning curve. I'm not the world's most tech-savvy person, and getting used to the recording studio setup, keeping calm enough to ask sensible questions while trusting that we were in fact recording, not to mention learning to edit these episodes, really took it out of me. In the first months of the COVID pandemic, the magazine podcast team had shifted from recording podcast guests in person to recording remotely. So I was in the fortunate position to know how to produce a podcast show, recording both in person and remotely. The third beacon of light came from my son, daughter, and son-in-law. When I count my blessings, they're still at the top of my list. Each of them is, in some way, involved in the world of music and sound. The very day I heard that I'd lost my job, these young adults offered to build me a website and provide me with the gear I'd need to get my own podcast series underway. I won't even try to describe how touched I was by the loving gestures of my children, and not only my children, but of my partner, many friends and family members. On the one hand, I was still reeling with the shock of losing my job, and I found myself experiencing an identity crisis. Being associated with a respected glossy magazine definitely has its perks, and as a journalist, I only had to say the magazine's name for doors to open and experts to be happy to speak to me. That now belonged to the past, and my identity could certainly be compared to bug soup. On the other hand, with my children's support and that of other people, I now had something to work towards. My rebirth as the owner of a health and wellness platform, including a weekly podcast series. When I look at the death and rebirth phase, it feels as if it happened a million years ago. I have been told that I have a wonderfully selective memory, and I don't think forgetfulness is such a bad thing. Martha Beck, with her inimitable sense of humor, ascribes a mantra to each square, and the one she links to square one is, and I quote, "I don't know what the hell is going on, and that's okay." If you're undergoing a transition and this is how you feel, you may well be in square one of the change cycle. I was to spend the next 9 months in phase two of the change cycle, dreaming and scheming. In square two, the thing that caught me by surprise was the extent to which creating a blueprint for my digital platform completely overtook my life. My beloved is an engineer with his own business. Years before I was retrenched, I'd watched him develop the product which forms the backbone of his business, but I'd never quite understood how creating something from scratch, all by your lonesome self, can consume you. I spent days and often nights doing research, completing the modules of the online course, interviewing individuals representing my possible audience, dreaming, getting ideas, and often discarding them. At times, I really found all of this overwhelming. As I oscillated between doubt and fear, I fervently hoped that all this effort would one day pay off. But despite my bouts of despair, I'd wake up at night with new ideas and happily hop out of bed the next morning to get back to the drawing board. Martha's mantra for square two is, there are no rules and that's okay. Slowly, I gained clarity on what I was aiming for. As a journalist, I'd often been asked to recommend a therapist, coach, or other helping professional. So now my objective was to create a platform which would connect my audience with a range of experts they could listen to or read about, so that they could find someone who resonated with them. To my mind, a podcast episode is where trust begins. When listeners hear an expert speak in a calm and thoughtful conversation, they not only learn what the expert knows, but also get a sense of who the expert is. The expert's personality, their energy, comes through. This is especially important in wellness work, where a client needs to entrust themselves to a therapist or coach or other professional. For this reason, I decided my podcast series should be at the heart of my work, but I also wanted to create articles. Some people prefer reading to listening. The crucial factor was that visitors to my platform should have access to trustworthy information on physical and mental health, relationships, and life's transitions and challenges. The setup I envisioned would not only benefit my audience, but a very important point, offer exposure to health and wellness professionals and their services, including books, courses, and so on. One gift we received from the pandemic was the switch to online counseling, coaching, etc. I could not have chosen a better time to help professionals offer their services across continents. Since I know how daunting it can be to approach a helping professional, I added a section called Up Close and Personal to my website. This serves to offer readers a reassuring glimpse of the person behind many of the professionals I feature. In these articles, each expert answers 8 personalized questions, sometimes adding personal photographs. And I must say that these articles are hugely popular. Clarifying my offering was one thing. Monetizing it was the next challenge. Since I wanted the content co-created with wellness professionals to be available free of charge, I decided to charge a fee for the exposure professionals would receive. This was an unusual concept, but one which eventually proved very effective. Working as a journalist for decades had become second nature to me, to the extent that I didn't realize the value of the skill set journalists have. Interviewing skills, clear writing and storytelling, accuracy and attention to detail, and knowing how to position professionals and market their expertise. At first, I hardly appreciated the great help my previous experience was going to be. Finally, I was getting ready to put my plans into action. My son-in-law created my website. Using the high-quality sound gear provided by my children, I started recording podcast episodes. My son ensured that my editing tools were in place. My daughter composed original music for my podcast. My partner was on standby to solve any technical difficulties. Bless the engineers in my life. One huge advantage I enjoyed was the network of health and wellness professionals I'd built up over my years at the Women's Magazine. I was bowled over by the generosity and willingness of therapists, coaches, and others to work with me. Now I was transitioning from square two to the third square, the hero's saga, to which Martha ascribes the mantra, "This is much worse than I expected," and that's okay. Right, the hero's saga. The sheer number of tasks involved in suddenly having my own website and podcast series and keeping all of those balls in the air was intimidating, to say the least. I think it was sheer adrenaline that kept me going. As a member of an editorial team, I was used to colleagues taking care of different tasks. At the magazine, they were specialists in social media, in website layout and visuals, in putting together newsletters, solving technical difficulties, handling admin and money matters. As a team, we'd always planned a year's themes in advance, brainstormed on topics to cover in articles and podcasts, and figured out strategies for expanding our reach. These tasks now landed in a jumble on my plate. I had to manage both content creation and grow my business, which are two very different matters. I've never had a comfortable relationship with deadlines, but being a one-woman act took things to a new level. I'm sure any podcaster listening to me knows exactly what I'm talking about. But perhaps I should skip the challenges I've come across in the hero saga, in square three, and mention what has kept me going. Initially, I kept a journal in which I wrote down messages of support, positive reactions, and even small synchronicities. It's wonderful what the milk of human kindness can do. To this day, I record words of encouragement from clients, friends, my audience, and other big-hearted people in my diary. I still wonder at the opportunities for expansion that have come my way since I launched my platform. Several magazine editors invited me to freelance for their magazines, a great honor to me. An innovative form of psychotherapy commissioned a series of podcasts. Two local radio stations broadcasting in my mother tongue, Afrikaans, access my network to find experts for their interviews. I have to mention that I'd love to collaborate with some English stations. Of the 160 experts I featured so far, most are English-speaking and happy to offer their expertise on other platforms to expand their reach. Do let me know if you can suggest an English radio station to work with me and the professionals I feature. Back to the opportunities that came my way. Experts in the wellness field that I respected and admired for their work were happy to record with me. Podcast guests referred their colleagues. Fellow podcasters invited me onto their shows, although it still makes me quite nervous to be on the other side of the microphone. I don't know if you believe in visualization, but I often imagined energy from my platform sweeping around the world, touching individuals in many countries. Well, it seems to have worked. At some stage, I stopped counting, but I must have had visitors from 2/3 of the countries around the world visit my website. This warms my heart. Interviewing professionals from other countries was a bit of a stretch. I was worried about encountering technical difficulties, but to my delight, I discovered that even interviewing experts on the West Coast of America is no problem. And they even seem to understand my South African accent. The most powerful game changer I've come across in Square 3 is the Podcast Profit Pathway Mastermind group I joined last year. It feels as if coaches Donna Kandi and Dr. James Bryant and the Mastermind members have given my mind a complete overhaul. I've gained great clarity on what I do and how to create more value for my audience as well as my clients, and how I can make my podcast show and what I offer more lucrative. With the support of the Masterminders, I keep setting new goals that will take my platform and my business to unprecedented levels. So, coming to Square 4, the promised land, where one isn't building a new life, but simply tending to it. Am I there yet? I'm afraid not. It's true that my day-to-day activities are running much more smoothly. It's true that I've gained a lot of confidence over the past 5 years, both on account of the excellent feedback from the clients whose voices I amplify and from audience members who find my platform valuable. It's true that I'm having fun, getting new opportunities, and truly enjoy what I do. But I still have specific goals to reach, products to develop, collaborations to explore, best practices to learn, and I know from experience that unanticipated possibilities are sure to emerge and surprise me. In the meantime, I'm taking note of Martha's description of the promised land, including slowing down and fine-tuning what already works. Here's a quote on Square 4 from her book, Finding Your Own North Star. You will eventually reach the point where everything necessary to maintaining your Square 4 prosperity is not only manageable, but easy. Of course, no one remains in the promised land for an indefinite period of time. Martha explains that things change, and sooner or later, you'll find yourself facing another catalytic event and the beginning of another change cycle. It makes perfect sense that Martha's mantra for Square 4 is, everything is changing, and that's okay. I'd like to conclude with some heartfelt thank yous. Thank you for listening to this podcast. Thank you to each reader and listener who has ever visited my platform. You are the reason for the content I create with my clients. Without you, there would be no website, no podcast series. Thank you to each expert or other individual for co-creating a podcast episode or an article with me. The content we put out is read and listened to widely and truly makes a difference. Thank you to my support system, colleagues, friends, family members, and the individuals I think of as the fairy godmothers and godfathers of my platform. I think you know who you are. Most of all, thank you to my children and to my beloved for being my fixed point in a changing world and for accepting me as I am. There is no greater joy than experiencing enduring love and sharing some lighter moments in this strange world we live in. To my listeners, if you're undergoing a major life transition or have done so before, go to the contact form on my website and let me know. If you'd like more information on Martha Beck's change cycle, take a look at my podcast notes. I've recorded an episode on this topic with Master Transformation Coach Liesl Thom, and I'll include the particulars of Martha Beck's book. And then, of course, you'll find notes on this episode. Next week, I'll be introducing another wellness expert. May you have a really good week. Go to my website, www.marietsneeman.co.za, for this episode's podcast notes and for free podcasts and articles on how to live a happier and healthier life and have more fulfilling relationships. To follow me on Facebook, Instagram, or LinkedIn, just search for Mariet Sneeman Journalist. The podcast series Calm, Clear, and Helpful is produced by me with original music by Mart Marie Sneeman. Catch you next Tuesday at 9:00.